If you're just joining us, we'll bring you up to date on the latest news here. Seven space shuttle astronauts died today when the shuttle Columbia crashed over Texas. One place NASA is sure to look for a possible cause of today's space shuttle failure is at what are called auxiliary power units, or APUs, which provide power to the orbiter's steering mechanisms during descent. NPR's Howard Berkus has been studying that issue and reporting on it and joins us now. Hi, Howard.
Hi, Steve.
Can you just briefly describe for us what auxiliary power units are and just remind us why these might be of interest to someone trying to investigate this crash?
Sure. As you mentioned, the auxiliary power units are used during the space shuttle's descent to Earth as it glides to Earth in the final stage before landing. The auxiliary power units power the hydraulics that permit steering of the shuttle as it's gliding. Now, there are three of these inside the aft or the rear fuselage portion of the orbiter, and they contain these super fast turbines. And they've actually been of concern to NASA for quite some time because they require a highly flammable and explosive fuel called hydrazine to work. The burning of the fuel creates a gas which turns the turbines, which then powers the hydraulics. That enables the shuttle to steer during its glide to Earth. And auxiliary power units have been really at the top of NASA's list of parts to redesign, parts that are used during this entry or descent to Earth because of the flammability of the fuel that's used.
Howard, I know you've been speaking with people, experts on this issue. What are they telling you about how these power units could have had something to do with the crash today?
And we should underscore could have. We don't really know for sure anything about that. But it's possible that one of the auxiliary power units or more than one sprung a fuel leak. And that's an environment in which, ignition would be relatively simple. A fire, an explosion could result. If the explosion's big enough, it could send the orbiter out of control, and that would cause it to break up. Even a smaller fire or explosion could cause failure in the hydraulics that control the steering mechanisms, and that would make the orbiter impossible to steer, and that would send it out of control.
Well, now, if that happened, would this power unit just abruptly break and cause a catastrophe, or would there have been some kind of evidence in advance of steering problems?
Certainly it's possible that a leak would have been slow. The failure would have been before a catastrophic event like an explosion. That is something that probably would then be noticed by all those instruments that are reading what the orbiter's doing as it's flying, instruments on the ground that are reading that. And we do know from the news conference today at NASA that there was nothing unusual about the orbiter's trajectory and steering just before it broke up. At least there's nothing that was measured that was evident in the data while the data was still being received on the ground. I'm told, though, that it is possible that a larger explosion could cause a quick failure of steering and trajectory that could tear the spacecraft apart.
A minute ago, Howard, you mentioned something that's a little disturbing in retrospect. It may not have seemed quite so urgent at the time. It may not turn out to have been that urgent. But you said that NASA actually wanted to redesign these auxiliary power units.
Right. And it would only be disturbing if we find that they were a cause. There was this plan to replace the flammable hydrazine fuel in these units with batteries. But that wasn't easy. Engineers were finding it difficult to make that happen because batteries add significant weight to the space shuttle, and weight's always a concern. Cost is also a major concern for the space shuttle program, and NASA's been undergoing some significant cost cutting. And the cost estimates for developing battery-powered auxiliary power units, they exceed more than $500 million now. So that effort was put on hold indefinitely.
Well, what made people want to redesign them? Had there been some problem with them in the past?
No. I'm told they've been pretty robust. They've been reliable. They're checked and refurbished carefully after every flight. They weren't failing. The concern about them simply was this more general concern of why have a flammable and explosive fuel on board during descent if you don't have to? That really is what I'm told is what prompted the interest in replacing hydrazine with battery power.
And one thing I do want to mention, Howard, we're talking about these auxiliary power units. They're certainly of great interest because they may have been engaged at roughly the time when this disaster occurred, but we're laying out data points here. We're not really in a position to confidently advance any kind of a theory.
Absolutely. This is not a theory. It's something to look at. And I really want to be clear about that. There's absolutely no evidence at this time that I'm aware of, or that anyone I've spoken with is aware of, that these auxiliary power units had anything to do with the loss of the orbiter today. It is merely one line of inquiry, one place to look. And, you know, this is the way NASA investigators work. They look at all the systems that for possible causes and failures. There's strong interest in the debris that Larry Abramson mentioned a little while ago that seems to have hit the spacecraft during its launch. There's that anomaly of the failure of those temperature sensors. All these issues will be scrutinized, and all the systems on the shuttle will be scrutinized for possible causes, possible causes will be eliminated one by one. The auxiliary power units will be of interest also because of the explosiveness of the fuel, the link to the steering mechanisms. Of course, it's early, and as you know, in situations like this, tomorrow at this time, we may be talking about something entirely different.
Howard, we've just got about 15 seconds here, but this is your second. You're covering your second shuttle crash. We heard Ira Flatow say that NASA made many mistakes the first time around. They've tried to change. Is your early sense that they have changed?
It's hard to tell right now. The fact that they gave out so much information so early today is a good sign, and we do know that there will be these independent investigations, and that's a good sign as well.
Thanks very much, Howard. Appreciate your work.
Thank you, Steve.
And we'll continue. You're listening to special coverage from NPR News.